Okay, you might wonder, if you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, why? Why did we actually play the same tune sort of on Thursday last time? Well, it was because actually Emma's flatmate wouldn't have been awake on Thursday.
Yes.
And obviously the podcast is available, but she wouldn't have got the full musical sequence there.
So. I hope she better be listening now. If she's not,
we're not playing it again.
No, because, you know, going from Brian Cooney and the MCM Birmingham NEC Comic Con event to the Leeds Thought Bubble event, where we actually speak to a sequential graphic narrative specialist extraordinaire and indeed top journalist with respect to Starburst magazine. Said it, you see, it's SFX. I know we have big friends there, but other magazines are available, Starburst being one of them. And it's a joy to be able to welcome Ed Fortune to the show. How are you, Ed?
Hello, everyone. If you can hear a little bit of noise in the background, it's because I'm in the Fast Cafe in Manchester, which is where the Starburst journalists hang out.
Exactly. You see, the Fab Cafe in Manchester, another place on our list of places to actually go. Actually, I've got a 2012 edition here of Starburst. I haven't purchased it since then. But the Fab Cafe, which has hosted, amongst other things, Paul Darrow from Avon. It's literally FAB, all things fab. And, I mean, describe the surroundings, please, Ed. Because, you know, we have, I think it's fair to say, actually, if I did a little run through, and I'll just introduce you to the quintet of quality that we actually have in terms of the pentangle of power that's actually in this studio, the pentangle of feminine pulchritude. We have Holly Parker, very keen SF, well, kind of, I suppose, midway, I mean, English graduate extraordinaire, currently doing an MA in English literature.
21st century
girl, as before T-Rex even started. And indeed, did the science fiction module with me in English last year. That's why you're in the studio today, as I look at actually through the television screen at you and the thing from there. Sorry. But it's Holly Parker. Tarina, we haven't had a chance to speak yet about your fabulous work with respect to the young people in Lincoln.
No, not yet.
But we will.
Oh.
You know, we will.
Oh,
you
exciting.
But you quite like the fantasy world.
Yes.
Well?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
That's all the fun for that. Sue Royce, who she likes Take That, but we're trying to persuade her there is a bigger world.
And Ed would know who they were in Manchester.
Or not.
Yeah. Steady, Sue. You know, I know you're an ace postgraduate MA community radio soul, but, you know, really, there are times where you think, steady on. You know, he's from Newcastle originally. Sure. You know? And, of course, we've got Jessica Ward, originally from New Zealand, and she knows The Hobbit so well. It's
phenomenal.
Oh,
yeah,
I do. And as rightly actually pointed out, that the way to understand New Zealand humour, as she actually said frequently, was the Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
Something we'll challenge because we do have a New Zealander on the show tomorrow morning.
Oh, yes.
Specialised in sheep dairies. I'll say that again for the benefit of Ed, because he might have thought he's hallucinating in the Fab Cafe. Yes, tomorrow, a sheep dairy specialist.
Ew.
Yeah. So you asked me to describe what the Fab looks like.
Please, yes.
I am in the corner of the classic 80s arcade machine, so we've got Gauntlet and Indiana Jones and this sort of thing. And that's the least of it. On the other side, we've got Sean Connery's autograph. We've got Billy Dee Williams' autograph. We've got a pile. We've got Carrie Fisher's autograph. We have a pile.
Just hold it there. You have got Sean Connery, the original James Bond. Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian from the Star Wars scenario. Secrets there. And you've also got Carrie Fisher's.
Oh, that's another thing. If I quickly sneak around the corner, there's a drawing from the people who, Cosgrove and Hall, the creators of Danger Mouse, and they've drawn a picture of all the characters from Cosgrove Hall falling out of a van into the Fab Cast, and it's also signed by Jerry Anderson.
Why have we not actually done a location report for the Fab Cafe?
I think,
you know, clearly, you know,
it
might be down the M62 from where we are at present, but what the hey, you know, this is ridiculous.
It's still the memorabilia, it's got a TARDIS in the corner, it's got a Dalek in the corner, the Dalek's called Gerald, obviously.
Of course.
I'm waving at my fellow Starburst journalists who are hiding in the corner. And
hello, Starburst journalists, hiding in the corner. Hello!
And it's got cabinets and cabinets of memorabilia, so that's the setup for the bar, and it's a regular little home, and it's also got lots and lots of comic book art everywhere.
Well, sounds like the place to host our next Inspired Quiz for Lincoln, I think, really.
I think it sounds very much like the Ritz in Lincoln, and they have the restaurant version of the Ritz. And they have memorabilia up too, and they've got photographs of people like Cannon and Ball and Gary Wilmot.
You see, all the credibility that Tarina's built up, you know, with her friends with Bookstart Bear, you know, 6 foot 3 inch bear, blue, and a supporter of reading, you know, suddenly just fades away, really.
Nothing wrong with a bit of cannon and ball.
I can't quite see Cannon and Ball. I mean, you could Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Cannon and Ball's, you know, Bodacious Dude.
I wouldn't count them as genre, no.
Thank you, Brent. Thank you. I mean, you know, in terms of that genre split, we'd say probably not from that point.
I was thinking more of the memorabilia.
To be fair, we haven't seen the third Bill and Ted yet.
No, it's not out. Well, they've not made it yet.
No, but we don't know what it's going to be like either.
And that's why I really warmed to Ed Fortune at the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention in London, you see. Could actually point that out. You know, we haven't seen it yet. That's because they haven't made it. Straight in there. Genius. We've been talking about fandom and a whole heap of other stuff, etc., as the show's proceeded. But we clearly need to find out what wonderful things have been happening with respect to Thought Bubble in Leeds. I'll say that again.
Well, Thought Bubble is a week-long sequential arts festival. So it's not just... Everyone focuses on the convention. But there was a week's run-up to it, and there always will be. And that they try and make a bit of a national event there. So here in London, you could have gone to Gosh to go to a Thought Bubble event. And there was a lecture by Professor Mel Gibson in Newcastle, and that was also part of the Thought Bubble event. But the main affair really is the convention at the end of the week. And it's one of those odd things, because it's very much an indie festival. So you have people like Jeff Lemire, who are major comic book contributors and creators. You also have Kieran Gillen, Jimmy Calvi. You have a number of big names. But then you also get people like Kev Sutherland, who is the guy who does the Beano. And you might know him better from YouTube as the Falsetto Sock Puppet Theatre.
Well, listen, when you've got the Falsetto Soft Puppets Theatre on your team, what more can you actually say? It's fantastic.
I mean, he was just hanging out, drawing pictures of people and chatting away and just, you know, shooting the breeze. And I think one of the big appeals for me about Thought Bubble, I mean, the first time I went to Thought Bubble, I just walked into the Israeli, the comic book artist, and he wasn't doing a signing, he wasn't being anyone special, he was just enjoying the crowd. And that's the appeal. It's a comic book event that's accessible by the public that big comic book names go to have fun and also catch up on the latest names and latest ideas and all the indie stuff. And it's absolutely filled. I mean, every year it's filled with new comic book stuff. And one of the things I was terribly excited by was Terry Wiley has a new book out. Now, Terry Wiley is one of the best kept secrets in the indie comic book world, because he's been around for 20 years, and he does a very... imagine if Mike Lee had directed an episode of Doctor Who. That's what he writes.
Now, that is strange. Mike Lee, Raining Stones, directing an episode of Doctor Who. It could almost lead to the Brigadier being converted into a Cyberman. Oh, wait, that actually happened. I mean, the thing that we've been fortunate over the years to feature the likes of Brian Talbot and who was the Dave Gibbons, of course, who's worked with us in times past. It's time to actually get them back on the show again. But that's something which we finally find in the 21st century, that the comic book creators are getting the credit that they deserve. I mean, for a long time, I'll test this. You went dressed as Harley Quinn.
Yes.
To a recent event.
Don't ask me questions. I won't know.
Who created Batman? Oh. Emma Tinson.
Okay, this one I actually...
Yeah, you see, he's jumped in there. He's jumped in there.
Sure, knight is shining on.
Exactly. He's jumped in there with Bill Finger as the artist, but of course, Bob Kane, of course.
I did know that. I'm really bad with names.
Actually, it's funny you should mention Dave Gibbons, because, of course, now he's the first comics lobbyist, and that was given to him at the Lakes Festival, which, like Thought Bubble, is a big independent comics festival. But the Lakes is a residential. You have to kind of go there and stay there because it's in Kendall. Whereas with Thought Bubble, you can just kind of go there, party, and then leave.
And actually, to be fair, I mean, one of our regular Cumbrian correspondents, one of my former students, Liv Clark, is actually based in Cumbria. She did actually alert me to Lakes Fest. It was the notion of the similarity between Royston Vasey and Lakes Fest that kind of got me just a little bit concerned. You know, there's a certain thing where you think, I need to have my exit strategy. Always have an exit strategy. You know, sometimes it gets strange. Anyway, plus I always like Neil Adams. Jessica, You've been quiet because we haven't come to you for quite some time. Is this just a whole new world of thought bubbling thing that's coming through, or what do you think? I think we should check out Fab Cafe and so on in Manchester and Leeds.
Oh, I'd love to check out Fab Cafe. Like, this is quite different. I'm not used to this kind of comic stuff, unfortunately, but I definitely I find it very interesting listening to you guys. Yes,
it's extraordinary. I mean, again, in previous year's conventions welcomed some of the biggest names in popular culture, and this is it. Popular culture. Matt Fraction, of course, author of Hawkeye. Kelly Sue DeConnick, who's one of the growing band of female writers who are actually sort of writing, you know, mainstream comic books as well. So a range of things. And you just have to look at the box office to see how successful the comic book scenario actually is. But anyway, what did you most enjoy about the Leeds Thought Bubble event under your hat of sequential arts editor for Starburst magazine, Ed Fortune?
I have to say, despite the fact that there were some excellent panels there and there's some excellent talks, I actually enjoyed the event itself. They have never been better organised. So in the past, sometimes you had long queues for people that got in the way of getting into other things. Now they've got a big teepee in the middle full of people. So wonderfully well organised, and I was just able to go in and hang and meet comic creators from Marvel, from DC, from Image, and also from the independent world. So for me, the fact that they have consciously created this atmosphere, it's almost like kind of a comics cafe, as it were. So the panels were lovely, and the various little events that ran up to it were also very nice. The atmosphere that they deliberately built into the event itself made it just very friendly, very nice, very relaxed, and an awful lot of fun. And there was a nice mix between, you know, kind of professionals and semi-professionals networking and talking to each other, and then just members of the public chilling out and enjoying comic books. And it had a strong bohemian feel to it this year. I think everyone now knows the score, and everyone's there just to enjoy themselves and have fun.
And before we go to Los Angeles, we've got to actually mention, because I know co-host of Chilpack Hollywood's wonderful weekly podcast, Dean Hagland, is quite a keen graphic artist as well in his own ways. Have you ever encountered any of Dean Hagland's stuff, or have you got any opinions on the X-Files Season 10 or Season 11 series that's developing by IDW Comics? I'm personally looking forward to, and I'll just reveal this on air, Star Trek meets Planet of the Apes.
No way, is that happening?
Star Trek and Planet of the Apes?
I absolutely adore the way that IDW remix things. And if you haven't, check out the stuff they did with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because they reimagined it, created one coherent world, and you would have this absolutely lovely, coherent Turtles world, which is exactly how you remember it as a kid, and yet nothing like you've ever seen before.
And there you have it. And yes, Star Trek and Planet of the Apes is, as I'm sure you confirm, Ed, a happening thing.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
And it's the original Star Trek as well, you know. Oh, wow.
It's like a crucible of creativity, isn't it?
So we push those boundaries. Thought Bubble is a not-for-profit organisation that seeks to promote literacy and artistic skills through the medium of sequential art. We'll talk more about Starburst magazine in future events, etc., because, Ed, you've made your debut on the production this evening. How's it been for yourself from Fab Cafe?
It's been absolutely lovely, and thank you for having me on the show.
I think he deserves a round of applause, please, Debbie. Exactly. Marvellous. So can we look forward to featuring you again in the very near future?
Yes, please.
Excellent. And now, an earworm. Deep, deep inside, bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change there'd be. So that should actually reinforce the thoughts for next week then, Emma, I would have thought,
yes.
In terms of... Yeah, very good.
Very catchy.
Somebody who's online at present is normally in the early part of the show, but because we had to juggle around times with Tara Bennett and so on, we've welcomed her to this part of the programme. Who might that be, Tarina?
I would say, is it Anna Lewis?
Would that be the Anna Lewis who actually provides us with...
Notes from a Very Small Island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
Yay. Ooh. That Anna Lewis there.
Yay.
Is that Anna Lewis there?
I'm afraid I am, yes.
Yeah, there's a bit there. Exactly. Well, we've jumped through sequential art telling. We've talked about the MCM comic book expos. We've featured Hannah Bethel, a singer-songwriter. We've had Cameron Tilbury, obviously Tara Bennett. But now it's time, Anna, for you to find out from Tarina Jones a self-styled not a librarian.
Could you go? Yeah. As opposed to the librarian who's sitting next to her.
Sorry.
These are critical things that you actually work through. Something about what Tarina's been excitedly doing with awards with, well, young people in many ways.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I manage a project in Lincolnshire Libraries called the Lincolnshire Young People's Book Award. It's not a very catchy title, but and basically it's for children 9 years to 14 years. And basically they are reading for pleasure, and they get in touch with me and they suggest books that we can have in the shortlist. And if they meet the criteria, which is that they've been published the year before and that they're suitable for that age range, then we submit them.
And what a lovely idea.
Yeah, and all the kids get to, you know, to go to libraries to vote. They can vote online. We have shadowing groups. And then at the end of the year, we say thanks and we have a big celebration event. And we have lots of authors, and our champion is Georgia Twynham, who's quite a regular visitor to the show.
The 13th and the Midweek Drive fit together so well.
Fantastic.
Really.
And yes, yeah, so we've launched our shortlist, and this year is going to be our sort of make or break year, I think. We're going to reinvent ourselves a little bit, and we're going to introduce a writing competition, and we're going to invite lots and lots of authors to come along and meet the kids, and the kids can sort of have their say and ask them lots of questions and have a big picnic right at the very end. And we're going to go and see how that goes. So
a picnic in the library.
No. You can do all sorts in the library now, but no, this will be within a school that is part of the shadowing group. So
a picnic in a school.
Yes. Shocking. I know how very dare they, but yes. It's just to keep it all nice and informal, so that, you know, people can move around and it's not that sort of formal sort of hello and I don't talk to you and you're out of reach.
Which is how they speak in Lincoln, by the way, regularly.
Yes. Oh yes,
you can be wandering through Lincolnshire and it's hello, me duck, how are you?
Now then. But whatever they say, I'm sure it'd be great, because the kids are just absolutely made up when they meet their their idols.
Technically, Tarina, as we both know, whatever.
Whatever.
Exactly. Keeping it real.
No.
So, do you run such exciting things in the joys of Jersey libraries, pray tell?
Our library's a bit... it sounds really awful. It sounds a bit pretentious, but we're a bit for the older age group. But the public library, our local government-run public library, is superb. I mean, they do have fantastic exhibitions of children's artwork. I ran a competition some years ago with our society to create the postbox of the future, because the first postboxes appeared in Jersey in 1852. And so in, I can't remember what year it was now, 2002, I think it was, yes it was, I did the 150th anniversary competition, and the kids produced the most incredibly modern looking post boxes, and they were exhibited in the public library, and it was great, because you see the imagination that kids have, and it's fun, you know. Awesome. Reading and history and all that, it's all well and good, but if they're doing something with it, then it becomes far more interesting, and if they've got voting powers, it prepares them for the future. So brilliant idea.
They can vote for dodgy political parties, which is what most British public people do.
Anyway.
No mention of any names whatsoever. Sue, does this resonate with your time as library sort of coordinator and things?
Yeah, I mean, certainly from my side of it, the children that got involved in it were really excited about going off to read the shortlist. I mean, they were even more excited when the year that we took part, we picked the winner, which we thought was fantastic.
Brilliant.
And it's nice to see now that with the Young Person's Book Award, it's evolving, and now there is more onus on reading for pleasure, and it doesn't matter what you're reading. I mean, you know, sort of taking into account the stuff that we've heard and we've seen today about the comic and the sci-fi stuff, there is a move towards things being in the library that you wouldn't normally expect to be in a library, like the manga and things like that. But actually, that is, you know, providing it encourages, particularly boys, is a big thing encouraging boys to read.
Texting and sending messages and images, or anything
that gives
people an outlet to read for pleasure is, you know, is, yeah, is a really good, yeah, thing. And the Lincolnshire Young Person's Book Award really taps into that. So I'm really excited to see what we're going to shortlist this year.
Lincolnshire is books the trend somewhat because our boys and girls don't have a huge gap between their reading abilities.
No, we're fortunate.
And I also coordinate the Summer Reading Challenge, and that happens obviously in summer holidays. When I work out all the percentages and who's done what and where, usually there's only 1-2% between the boys and the girls, so that's really great for Lincolnshire.
Celebrate and rejoice. You talked about competitions. We've got a big one coming up in a few moments, which Phil Leonis is going to help coordinate. But, Holly, would you like to throw those last two questions down the line to our ace correspondent from Jersey?
Have you had fun talking to us today, Anna?
I have indeed. Thank you so much.
And do we look forward to talking to you next week?
I think so, yes. If you'll have me, I'll be here.
Returning tomorrow morning, of course, we've got Gabriella Peralta, our girl from Gibraltar, which means that actually Katie Grimerson unfortunately won't be on the programme because she couldn't make the 8 a.m. slot. And now she's... Katie, if you're listening, we'll feature you again very soon. We might see you actually on Saturday if we can get to Birmingham, but that's... who knows?
Say hi to Gabriella.
Of course.
Hello, Gabriella, from here.
Yes. She'll appreciate that line from Jersey, certainly.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag. So we bought a pack of cigarettes and Mrs. Wagner pies and walked off to look for America. Don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. All come to look for America.
The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Indeed. Competition time coming up in a few moments. It's always very exciting because you've got the book in your hand. Have you not, Jessica?
Yes, I do. It looks amazing.
It is amazing. It's Paul Terry and a history of all sorts of exciting 100 top 10 lists, etc. Almost as exciting as our next co-presenters on the show, who might well be whom, Tarina?
Is it Phil Leonis?
Phil Leonis?
Yeah,
Phil Leonis. Yeah, he was just about to make his big appearance. Exactly.
I could have got it horribly wrong.
Is it Phil Leonis? I don't know. Is it Phil Leonis there? Are you there, Phil Leonis?
Yes, I am. That book of lists that you were talking about has as little to do with me as Simon and Garfunkel has to do with the Carpenters. And over the line... You said I was about to get a blast of the Carpenters, but it was Simon and Garfunkel.
Did I say Carpenters?
I swear you didn't.
You did, yeah.
No.
You're lying, Phil.
This is what I hear. This is what I hear when he calls me, and I answer the phone, and I hear him go, "Oh dear."
Listen, there's the stage persona and there's the tears behind the makeup. You know, that's what you have to say, you know. It's, we carry on. Now, it's been already... How much of the programme have you caught so far, Phil?
More than there actually was.
There you go.
Good answer.
In a Christopher Nolan stuck-in-my-own-head physics classroom kind of a way. Yes, I listened to... Actually, I mixed it up a little bit. Usually it's the very beginning of the show that I'm unable to catch. This week, I caught the whole first hour and then missed some segments over the last half hour. But so much great stuff, so much to talk about. But I've got to take up the... you know, the season 10 of The X-Files on IDW, and this idea of what has been done with the team. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because you know the lone gunman, Dean's character from the X-Files, was spun off into another comic by IDW, where among other things, they battle alongside the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Ghostbusters.
Wow, collaboration.
Wow. Who are you going to call? Dean Haglund.
Absolutely. And you know, this is what is amazing and also shows really what a geek I am. I watched all of the American crime series, The Wire, all five seasons over a period of about 2 weeks. And it starred several wonderful, British actors playing native Baltimoreans. I don't know if that's such a thing. People from Baltimore. And like Dominic West, for example. And what was amazing about it was in the next to last episode, actor Richard Belzer turns up playing Detective Munch, which was a character that he's played on, I think, 11 different TV series, including the origin episode of The Lone Gunman on The X-Files. So it means, I just realized, that The Wire and The X-Files exist in the same universe. See what a geek I am that I spend time thinking about stuff like this.
That's intense.
That's serious thought process there. That
just to check, Phil, that while you watched what did you say? Five series over 2 weeks.
Series, plural. Yeah.
Series.
Plural. Series, sorry.
Or seasons in America.
Yeah, nice.
Did you remember to eat between watching them?
Oh, did I remember? I don't know. I didn't remember to breathe, but it took care of itself. So certain things get done whether I remember to do them or not.
That's good.
I have people who feed me. I mean, they take care of that for me.
So
such is the glamorous life of a filmmaker.
Exactly. a little plug for Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, number 392, issue 392, podcast 392, which this week features the recurring guest star, freelance journalist Yoshi Kato. I'll give him another shout out. That's Yoshi Kato. One of these days, he'll sort of realise that he should actually do an appearance on this show. But we've got this competition for the Paul Terry piece. Now, I'm not sure, Phil, if you've encountered Paul Terry, but he's put together a whole stack of stuff in terms of musicians and stuff. But he's written this book, which Jessica you're looking at now, and the book is called
Top 10 of Everything.
And would you like to give a couple of samples of that Top 10 of Everything?
Can we just say that me and Jessica were really shocked to find that the best number ones of the 2000s, number 3 is Call Me Maybe.
Yep.
That's
really?
Shocking. Shocking.
Lord.
Would not never have guessed that.
Phil might have dropped the phone on that rabbit. but
on the other hand, I do know who Gary Barlow is. So
thank you. Bless you, Phil. Bless you.
I mean, how could I not? Isn't he a judge on X Factor UK?
Oh, he was last
He was.
Year.
He was. Not this year, but he will be on X Factor on Friday, Saturday. He's appearing this
you
week.
You should be like Gary Barlow's promo person.
She knows her
And
facts.
You know what? And you know what? Unless I'm mistaken, Gary Barlow exists in the same universe as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
He does.
In fact, is he not? No, well, we'll go that far. It's just his dance routine. Cowabunga. In terms of Paul Terry, a non-fiction author, worked with leading brands, including Bad Robot TV shows, Lost and Fringe, edited all sorts of things. The Top 10 of Everything, 2015, is available as a prize. He's donated it as a prize. We're a joint package between Parsec, our monthly science fiction show, and indeed the Midweek Drive, and we're offering it for answering the following question. Okay, and we'll run it over the next few weeks. The question is, who is the author of The Rorschach Texts? Who actually wrote The Rorschach Texts? There we are. That's it. If you want to actually respond, use the usual channels of communication. You can use info@southsideradio.com if you wish. We'll put it up online as well. There we are. Message is done. Sorted. We'll mention it again tomorrow morning. Holly, would you like to throw some questions at Phil about life, the universe, and how it feels to be lost into the show?
You know, I have a trivia question for you, actually, that you could use when giving something away at some point. And I was thinking about this when I was going through this will be a clue as to who it is, but when I was going through the NCM Birmingham website, which I do, because I go through all Comic-Con websites, whether I can go to them or not, to see who's appearing. But I realized when I saw who the big stars are that's going to be there, that a good trivia question about The Truth Is Out There that, Alex, you might not even know, having seen the film multiple times, is that one of the stars of all 8 Harry Potter movies appears briefly, but appears in close-up on screen in The Truth Is Out There in person.
I'll defer that to the person who might have seen it most recently. That would be Jessica. Have you managed to catch your way through? How far have you reached in The Truth Is Out There?
To tell you the truth, just less than halfway.
Less than halfway.
But my
So she already has the answer, though, because she's already seen him then. Yeah. Oh, I gave away that it's a him! Darn it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I've watched it with one of my flatmates, and it was really interesting. It got us talking deeply about conspiracy theories and everything. It's really good. So we'll definitely be finishing that off. But
it's the sort of movie you can't really take in one go, otherwise it could cause the brain to
so
explode.
Deep, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know, Phil, when you came over here and screened it to the students, there were a lot of sort of possible, you know, scanner-like appearances in David Cronenberg's
Lost World. If you have a mind, it will be blown.
Oh, definitely.
There's no question about it. As opposed to, again, Interstellar, which, as I said before, would best be described as intermittently stellar, where if you have a mind, it will be put to sleep. But still,
just don't expect us to get Christopher Nolan to comment on the Lady Killers when that sort of comes out, you know. Just be careful.
This is two real stinkers in a row that he has made, and there is a lot of discussion about whether or not he might be done as a director, not in terms of being able to get films made, but in terms of being able to move the cultural conversation, because he was one of those rare directors that actually does accomplish that level of success where he moves the cultural conversation. But it comes a time for many of these directors that ends for them. I mean, no one would have thought for Francis Ford Coppola, following Apocalypse Now, that he would, within 2 years, become irrelevant, which he has been for the better part of 30-something years as a filmmaker. So anyway, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on. The other thing that I need to say about, because this is the time of year in Hollywood that's very exciting, where there's hundreds of films getting ready for release to be pushed into theaters for award consideration. So every night I'm going to screenings of different things. This apropos of Harry Potter, which I just mentioned, this new Hunger Games movie, Lower Your Expectations. Lower them.
No, are you joking?
I'm doing... And it's for a very important reason, which is much like how part one of the final two-parter of Harry Potter seemed like a major step down, they've done the same thing here, where they've taken one book, split it into two, and in doing so really had to pad the first half of it. So you've got about 45 minutes of story stretched out over 2 hours, and it feels like a step back, but I would say that obviously the payoff comes in the second half. So if the second half is good, then it'll all have been worth it. But, you know, dim the expectations a little bit, because that last one was so good that this one was going to have a hard time living up to it. And again, you know, I always have misgivings, because it's always about money when they split up these two, you know, split up one book into two.
Really? In the film industry? About money? Surely some mistake, Phil.
Say it,
you know?
So.
Yeah, say it ain't so, but, Joe.
But you'll thank Uncle Phil. Just lower the expectations a little bit, because lofty expectations can sometimes be your own undoing.
But they did that with Jurassic Park as well, didn't they? Because Michael Crichton wrote Jurassic Park, and then he wrote The Lost World, and they're kind of split. So when you watch the three, there you can see all three books running through. So it's not like Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
Well, exactly.
So maybe Hunger Games is the same kind of gig.
Precisely. You've got Mockingjay Part 1, Mockingjay Part 2, and there isn't even a proper species called Mockingjay. It's a made-up word. You know? Sorry to reveal that. Alfred might be Bruce Wayne's father.
No way!
No. Stop it.
That's done my bit of that.
J.K. Rowling might really be, you know, a practitioner of magic.
Maybe.
Just some of the things you can access on SFX's latest edition. Okay, as I was going to say, Holly, have you got any questions you want to put to Phil, or sort of things you'd like to sort of share with them at this particular time? Or Jessica, or anybody, really?
Yeah, as a sci-fi geek, I'll say nicely. Do you ever watch anything on BBC Three? And this is leading to something. Yeah. I know, but you can get it online.
BBC America.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know if it was BBC Three or not. I never can keep track of where. You know, I mean, I catch BBC programs sometimes through BBC America, but generally more through different online streaming sources like Netflix or Amazon or Hulu, or I have them illegally pirated for me.
In the film industry, I have no idea.
Exactly. It was a joke. And by the way, I say icebox. I don't say fridge or refrigerator. I say icebox. I was a Torchwood fan. I don't know, was that BBC?
I love Torchwood.
Okay, yeah, so yeah, you do. Right, so last night I watched for the first time a program called Bad Robots, where you get machines made by a company called Tescorp, in inverted commas, and they make machines that obviously are irritate you. Yeah. So there was a change machine where you can put in your notes and get your coins out. And people put in their notes, put in £10 notes, and the video flashed up then saying, "Thank you for purchasing emotional change." And obviously people get rather infuriated and start punching the machines, which is not socially acceptable behaviour. But I wondered what you thought about this possibility of all these machines just being out there making mischief.
It's actually referred to as a prank series.
It is. It's humans, so funny, though.
Humans
really
prepare
funny.
To get screwed with. Sir Michael Gambon is the voice of the eponymous vengeful robot in this brand new 6-part hidden camera show.
How did they not recognise that it was Michael Gambon's voice?
Because he's not in all the machines, though, is he? Sometimes they have. There's that female comedian that does one.
Oh, okay.
She does the tanning.
But you'd think that you'd recognise, because the voices are on, like, you know, cash machines and whatever, like they're all quite robot-y. You'd think you'd recognize if it was, you know, a celebrity.
Yeah, like just one guy would run up and say, "That's the singing detective."
Yeah, but they wouldn't. So, you know, was it just what he felt about them?
What would you explore with mischief-making machines?
Yeah. For your next movie, Phil, after The Lady Killers, The Lady Killers and Mischief-Making Machines. There's a possible line.
Can we do some pun with some sort of machinations and machines?
Yeah, machinations, machines. Yeah, I like that. You write it down, Holly. Copyright it. Yeah. Good.
Mischief-Making Machines does sound like an IDW comic book series.
There we are. Let us move on then rapidly, because I need to ask you a little tease ahead to next week, of course, because they have revealed that coming soon to the world, after a gap of some 20 years, this series is actually coming back. Damn good, Cherry Pie. Yeah, Sue, you recognise the theme. Straight in there. As a key aficionado, in fact, such an aficionado, he forced his co-hosts of Chilpack Hollywood to actually watch the entire series, both series, whether he wanted to or not. Phil, are you looking forward with anticipation, with eagerness, with excitement to actually see the return of Special Agent Dale Cooper, et al? Or do you think it's not going to be the same?
Well, it won't be the same, and one would hope that it won't be the same. And, you know, yes, when these series get rebooted, get revisited, despite sometimes remarkable work, there's always the sense, a little bit of a letdown. And I don't know how there couldn't be, but that said, I nevertheless am quite enthusiastic about it because of the fact that David Lynch, who hasn't directed a film since Inland Empire,
is that because he's lost his way? You know, is that because he's lost his way?
Well, he hasn't directed, and as I was going to say, he hasn't directed a good film since Mulholland Drive. We're going on a long time without getting to enjoy David Lynch, the director, and he's going to direct every one of the episodes in this miniseries. So it's going to be something like True Detective, where it gets to really be the authorial imprint of a director over a larger canvas. And so I'm incredibly excited about that. And, you know, they've had certainly a long time to think of the stories that they want to tell. So I can't wait. The only thing that I would say is that everyone needs to marshal their forces and do whatever they can be it on Twitter or via email or showing up at the producer's doorsteps to make sure that Lily Holloman gets
a part. The short answer is right. Experience. Correct. Absolutely spot on. Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on the program today?
It was all right.
Yeah. Back again next week.
Of course, I got nowhere else to go.
Thanks to Emma Tinson, Sue Royce, Tarina Jones, Jessica Ward, and Holly Parker in the studio. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, Hannah Bethel, Anna Lewis, Brian Cooney, Ed Fortune, Tara Bennett, and for Linus Online. Of course, thank you for staying tuned to us. Of course, on Siren FM next, it's a Siren Lifestyle with Craig Wiley. Rhymes with Smiley. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye.
Could save time in a bottle. The first thing that I'd like to do.